Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Okay, sorry about this. I'm going to be very croaky today. So didn't the kids do a great job? So interestingly enough, I'm just going to give you a little bit about Jonah and the actual story. So Jonah ministered as a prophet in Israel from 800 to 750 BC. Sorry, I need my glasses. During that time, the nation of Assyria had become a very powerful nation that controlled a large portion of the Mediterranean Sea and the Persian Gulf, which we know of today. Israel's northern borders touched Assyria and there were conflicts. Israel considered Assyria as significant enemies and they felt very bad feeling and prejudice towards each other. You could say when you think about what we see today that this is a story about ethnic and religious intolerance between two countries, just as we witness today. Nineveh was the major city in Assyria at the time with a population of about 120,000, which I think is about the size of Geelong, is that right? I'm not sure what their population is now. It was a flourishing capital of the Assyrian Empire and at the time of this story the largest city in the ancient world. In other words, the seat of imperial power was amassing wealth through the domination of other lands and one that was not Jewish. And guess what? Nineveh's calling us now. That's all right. The Assyrians were known to be extremely brutal and cruel and had committed terrible acts against their captives. The prophet Nahum, in a book following Jonah, described them as lions tearing and feeding on the nations. So when Jonah received word from God to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it and the wickedness of its people, you could sort of understand why Jonah didn't really want to go. So why did Jonah flee? It's not really surprising that Jonah couldn't believe that God was asking him to deliver a message to Nineveh, a message that they would be destroyed if they did not follow him. So obviously, believing he knew best, Jonah boarded a ship and headed in the opposite direction, which most people think was currently the likely day, Spain, hoping that if he went far enough away from God, he would forget about the task. Why did Jonah disregard God's command? Jonah found it very difficult and agonising to take a message of repentance to an empire that was destined to destroy his own people and nation. It's believed that out of patriotic zeal for his nation, he fled the opposite direction. He probably also shuddered to consider the implications of Nineveh actually responding to a message. How did God want to prolong the life of a brutal, ruthless and bloodthirsty nation threatening the existence of God's people? But who can truly actually flee from God? God caused a terrible storm, as we witnessed, with lots of vomit coming out of the boat while Jonah was out to sea to teach him a lesson. He was punishing him for backing away from this important job. Whilst we can admonish Jonah from running for God, he was considerably brave, telling the sailors to throw him overboard and was prepared to die to save those sailors' lives. What would you actually do in this circumstance? It is very clear that God actually gives us second chances, as he saved Jonah and had him vomited onto dry land by a big fish. And we do note in the Bible that it was never said that it was a whale. Are you all going hearing me with my croaky voice? All right. So what actually happened to Nineveh? So much of the Bible is devoted to prophets sending messages of all the things that God will do to the wicked. The prophets give long lists of what has made God angry over the years, particularly in the Old Testament. So he hated the oppression of the poor, he hated unfaithfulness and chasing after wealth. The prophets were known to give long lists of punishments and tribulations, such as famines and droughts and military invasions. In the case of this prophet, it's probably fair to say that graciousness was not probably on the list of one of Jonah's main character traits. He was obedient to God and entered the city of Nineveh, and it says it took him 3 days to walk through the city. But instead of sounding like a compassionate person that was delivering God's message, he just walked into the city and said, "You have 40 days. That's it, and then you're destroyed." He doesn't even appear to be working hard at prophesying. And guess what? It actually took him, Jonah, by surprise when they actually all said that they were sorry and immediately began to fast and ask forgiveness. Even the king, who proclaimed a fast and urged everybody to give up their evil ways and their violence. And the king was known to say, and it was quoted in chapter 3, verse 9, "God may yet relent and with a compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring the destruction that he had threatened. Well, what do you think Jonah did? Do you think he was happy? What do you think, kids? What did he do? He was angry. He was so angry, he stormed out of the city. He goes, "I knew you were going to do this, God, and I knew it," and he just railed at God about it. "I know that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, I am really upset with you, so I would rather you take my life. It is better for me to live than die." But God simply responds, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And that's pretty much how the story ends, although we do get this little comic situation where God shelters Jonah in the desert with a vine when he's sitting outside the city. He lets it grow up and cover him while Jonah's sitting there sulking, after which God takes away, and guess what? Jonah blows up again. So some people think that God was taking a little bit of amusement out of Jonah, kept cracking the sads with him. So the historical accuracy, some scholars doubt the authenticity of this biblical narrative and the person of Jonah. However, there is biblical evidence that he lived. Jesus referred to the incident of Jonah in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights as a sign of his death and resurrection. In Matthew 12, 38 to 40, Jesus says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And then he said, in reference to Nineveh and the preaching of Jonah, Christ spoke of himself as, "And now something greater than Jonah is here," in verse 41 of Matthew. It is an interesting thing because it's probably taken for granted that Jesus would not have made this statement based on a fictitious and an imaginary character. So what is the purpose of this story? Jonah is not a prophetic book. There is only one prophecy recorded in chapter 3, verse 4. One of the major themes is the relationship between God and Jonah. God's extraordinary capacity to forgive upon true repentance is also fundamental to our understanding. In this story, we see at great lengths that God goes in order to use Jonah to give a message to the people of Nineveh. Jonah even has to be rescued from the sea and live inside a fish before he recognises and praises God for his mercy. But even after all this, Jonah still gets angry with God for showing mercy to the people of Nineveh. What I'd like you to think about is how this story makes you feel. Would you be like Jonah when you're really mad at somebody who has wronged you in some way, when they've really done something hurtful and you just can't wait to see them because you're going to absolutely let them have it? You're going to tell them what they did, how they made you feel, what you're going to do about it and what they should do about it, and the kind of person you think that they really are. Sometimes we don't want reconciliation or resolution. We want to be proven right. We want to triumph in our victory over another, and we ourselves can be vengeful and spiteful, and in doing so we perpetrate the conflict. Maybe you have known people like Jonah who refuse to give up their resentments, refuse to let go of justified anger or a grudge, who seethe with bitterness at the perceived or actual wrongdoing of others. Some people do collect grievances. Anger and resentment are corrosive to the soul, eating you up inside. Being unforgiving is essentially a fantasy of making the past different and wanting to punish somebody for something that cannot change. Yet we can have forgiveness, which can be an act of self-care, even as one stands in opposition to somebody else. Forgiveness is a practice that liberates us from what can't be undone, and it frees us from an unchanging past. Forgiveness, being fully present in the moment and oriented towards possibilities of the future, it is what it takes for peace and understanding. So, in summary, the story of Jonah is a reminder that although it might be a challenging thought, we can never run or hide from God. This is actually a wonderful comfort too, because he is merciful and goes to great lengths to save us. It is also a reminder that despite our human weakness, God can still use us in his service. This story shows a noticeable contrast between God's mercy and forgiveness and the shortcomings of ourselves, and particularly with his servant Jonah. But most importantly, it shows how gracious God is. If we ask for forgiveness and repent, it is done. Just as God went to great lengths to show his mercy to Jonah and the Ninevites through bringing them back to him, he sent Jesus to do the same for us. So this is a story of forgiveness and life, a new life. Please reflect on the vastness, the awesomeness and wonder of this event. Jonah is often regarded as a prophecy about Jesus's death and resurrection. And I might just get you, if that's right, John, to put the last slide up.
Thanks, Nuri. Can I just get the host team and kids who are onto that? So we've had a little bit of audience participation so far and it doesn't end yet. He's all right, buddy. He's fine. Okay. All right. Our message, so what the kids are going to do, they're going to hand out a box of pebbles and a pencil and a piece of paper. If you could take one of each, please, that would be great. Okay. So our message so far has told us a little bit about Jonah and a little bit about the people of Nineveh. One was a Jew, a chosen prophet of God, called by God to bring his word to the nations. The other, a pagan, evil, Gentile population who couldn't get much further from God if they tried. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I could have set up my tent in both of those camps. I have been Jonah-esque on my judgy soapbox, passionately angry about an unfair outcome, not wanting to forgive or to accept the forgiveness of someone else because it just seems unjust. They need to learn a lesson. They should have had to suffer the consequences of their actions. I've also spent time in Nineveh, making choices that turned me away from God, making decisions that disappointed God and those around me, decisions that required God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness. What's astounding is that neither camp is situated very far from the other. Both are places of darkness and of loneliness. Neither camp brings out God's best in us or for us. Both require God's compassion and his mercy. Jew or Gentile, God is the God of all creation. And in Acts 10, 34 and 35, Peter says, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right." And both the people of Nineveh and Jonah could not escape God. Psalm 139, verse 7 says, "I can never get away from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence." And it goes on to say that even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. In the case of Jonah, we see in chapter 3 that he is given a second chance. God could have asked someone else. I presume there were other prophets who could have gone to Nineveh. God could have said to Jonah, "Too bad, mate, you blew it." But he didn't. He offered Jonah a new beginning, a chance to try again. How many other people in the Bible can you think of who were given a second chance, a third chance, a fourth? How about David, Peter, Samson, Paul? The Bible is full of people who, after repentance, have experienced the fullness of God's mercy and grace, who went on to do incredible things in the name of and for the glory of God. And so did Jonah. His sin didn't disqualify him. He was able to effectively preach a message of repentance because he had experienced and knew of his own need to repent. So how did Nineveh respond to this message? Let's have a look at chapter 3, verse 5. It says, the people believed God's message. Repentance begins with belief in God and in his word. Secondly, they declared a fast and put on sackcloth to show their sorrow. Repentance requires action. They cried out mightily to God. And then lastly, they turned from their evil ways. God saw this and he showed compassion and mercy and he forgave them. So, now it's your turn. Like I said, the service has been full of participation and this moment is no different, and this action that you take now may very well be the most important action you take today. In your hand, I'm hoping you will have one. You hold a small stone, a piece of paper and a pencil. With these three things, I invite you, I challenge you to respond as the people of Nineveh responded. First and foremost, you must believe in God, in his word, in the precious blood of Jesus Christ who died for you, in the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. Secondly, take action. I'd really like today for you to write something down that you need to bring to God, something that you need forgiveness for. It could be a single word, a sentence, maybe the name of a person. When you've done that, I'd like you to wrap it around the stone and come forward. As you place the stone in the bucket, just up here, I encourage you to spend some time with God, to cry out to him for his forgiveness and ask for his mercy to come upon you. And as you leave today, I encourage you to keep turning towards God and away from your sin. Be confident in the word of God that you have been renewed and restored to complete great works in his name. So now as you take this time, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do the same. I just would love to close with the words from James 4, verse 7 and 8, which say, humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.